What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Suplex City Geeks. Steve here, the professional. And joining me today for episode 4 of this amazing show, I got Brian.
What's up?
Chilling, son. Chilling. It's been another, like I said, like I say every week, it's been another amazing week of professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of good shit from AEW to Dynamite to Rampage to SmackDown to Raw, some NXT. But the biggest thing this weekend, we also had the Impact's Rebellion pay-per-view that happened. And that happened over this weekend on Saturday. And I checked it out. But before we get into all that, how you doing, dude?
I'm good. I'm finally not feeling like shit.
Good. Glad you're not feeling like shit.
Thank you. Yeah, it was during last week's show, I was half dead.
Yeah. And granted, the thing is that we for those that don't know, we record on Sundays, so it's kind of like the tail end of the weekend. And you had a really long ass week last week.
Yeah.
To get into all the craziness that was supposed to be going on this week for you as well. Yeah, it was a nutso weekend that had its ups and downs, and the down being, you know, feeling like shit by the time we had to record.
Right, because if you listen to the story on the main podcast, my daughters were sick the other week,
mm-hmm.
And so what you call it, and so you know, like anything, you catch what they catch, and mm-hmm. I caught it where I basically had a head cold, and I was just like so out of it, and like I was like, yay, colds. And it was not fun, but yeah. I'm at the little last tail end of it now.
Good.
But a lot better than I was even like 48 hours ago.
Being at the tail end of it is always a lot better. It's always mm-hmm. a lot better. So mm-hmm. It's good. I'm glad you're feeling better, dude. I'm glad things are getting better and things are looking on the up and ups for this next week.
Thank you. It'd be nice to feel not sick again.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. Yeah. All right, so I guess we can just get into the wrestling, because I watched a shit ton of it this week, obviously. Let's start off by Monday. We start off Monday because, of course, you know, we have Raw Monday.
Right.
There were a couple good things on Raw this week. Literally just a couple things. But we got to see Cody finally going up against who was it? Kevin Owens was his latest match or whatever.
Okay.
And it was actually a pretty fun match. Because we've been wondering, okay, where is it gonna go? Why is he not, you know? What type of competition is he gonna have in the WWE? And with him going up against Cody, I'm like, okay, I see where this is going and where this could lead. But what kind of sucked about it was that Kevin Owens keeps having shit with Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens gets thrown out of the ring or whatever, and Seth Rollins just keeps belittling him outside of the ring to the point that he called him, oh, get your fat ass back inside the ring. And he got pissed off and he walked away, causing him to lose by countout. I was like, okay, so I guess that builds another story that continues the story with them. And they're they're, I guess it's a love-hate relationship between both of them.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting. Like, I'm like, okay, I want to see where that's going. That's one of the few stories that I'm like, okay, I could see this building into more things. Especially the Kevin Owens side. Cody, still don't know yet. Still don't know where that's going. Because, of course, you know, he's only had, what, like two matches so far? So that's not really going anywhere. Another thing that was super cool on Raw was Rhea Ripley. We've seen Rhea Ripley tagging with Liv Morgan, and that was a really cool tag team. I like the way they were going. But then we saw a shift and a heel turn in Rhea Ripley, and she turned on Morgan after basically losing another tag match. And she pretty much turned on him and I was like, okay, this is something that we kind of saw this coming.
Yeah, it's been ongoing for a while.
Yeah, it's been ongoing for a while. We kind of saw where this is going, and also the fact that there's a whole new faction in the WWE right now. It's kind of interesting to see that. Is she gonna wind up going to the House of Purple, even though that's not really their name, but they always show up in purple. Yeah, because they turn on the purple light, and that's them. So it's the House of Purple. It's gonna be interesting. I'm really excited for that because, of course, you know, it's another faction. Factions are cool. Much like, you know, the Dark Order is another awesome faction. The House of Black is another awesome faction.
And the BCC.
Yeah, the BCC is a fantastic faction. So yeah, I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with Rhea Ripley. Is she gonna join the faction, or is she just gonna do her own thing as a heel? But we'll see. We'll see. Another really fun match. Something that was really exciting because, of course, you know, it's RKO. Who is it? Fucking Riddle and what's his face? Randy Orton. Good team. I like their dynamic, dude.
They've grown on it.
Yeah, like they are really good. And then they went up against the Street Profits again, and it sucks because they lost the match because the Usos rather coming out and just not even just coming out, they technically just like caused them to not pay attention to what was going on in the match, which led to the Street Profits pretty much taking advantage and going for the pin against Riddle. Wow. Well, Randy Orton was out of the ring. So this pretty much leads to what's going to wind up happening, possibly at Backlash, which is next week, I think it is. Where they're going to try to unify the titles, the SmackDown title and the Raw titles. So we'll see what happens then. Because, of course, you know, do we really want all of these Usos to have all the belts? Not really. No, I don't know. Like, I'm tired of Seth
Rollins. Yeah, I was about to say, I'm so over this.
Yeah. I'm so over fucking Seth Rollins. I don't want it anymore. Like, yeah, he's a decent wrestler. He's a good worker. He's a great heel. Mm-hmm. But as far as continuing the whole story with, you know, with him, like, I don't really want it. And the fact that, like, the Usos are everywhere. They're literally everywhere. Why do we need them all the time? I don't really want them. But I get it, you know, they're part of his bloodline, his whole faction. That tends to be all over the place. So I'm like, okay, I get it. But
I find it weird that, like, not weird, but like crazy. That like for all the DUIs they've gotten.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that was any other person in that roster, they wouldn't be getting championship matches. They'd be buried.
Yep.
It's just stupid.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. I can care less for them, but honestly, like even though I could care less for them, they do put on a hell of a show. They do know how to work the crowd and how to work a match. So like, I get it. I understand, but still not a fan. Some other shit that happened on Raw. Actually, no, that was it for Raw. That was the only real moments on Raw that I was like, okay, I'm kind of feeling this. But besides that, I was like, okay, yeah, those are the only standouts other than like the fact that they had like 18,000 promos on it. Don't really care for the promos. They're okay, but the fact they keep repeating them after they play them.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? It's because they want you to be so into like the show. I mean, oh, it's like that's sort of turning us off.
Yeah.
It's like we don't need to see the same shit over and over and over again.
Yeah. It's like watching an episode of Dragon Ball Z back in the day.
Okay.
When they were like previously on Dragon Ball Z. And you see Goku doing the Kamehameha for like 5 minutes. And then it gets the new episode and he's doing the same thing still.
Right.
I'm like, okay, what now? How else is this story progressing? And it's not. Because by the time the episode is over, he's still not even done with it.
Right.
So, like, it's like, whatever. Yeah, it was... Besides that, it was okay. Like, it was okay, bro. But one thing that I was super excited for, I was excited on NXT that Roxanne Perez, formerly Roxy in ROH, the former ROH Women's Champion, got her first match on NXT 2.0. And she's a phenomenal fucking fighter. Like, I've seen a few of her matches back in the ROH days and from the Indian stuff. She's actually really damn good. The fact that she's on the WWE now, unfortunately on NXT, she's it shows you that she knows what she's doing. She's a great worker, and I'm excited to see her comeuppance and see where she's going. She won her first match, which is something that you don't usually see for on a WWE side.
Right.
But she won the first match because of it was a disqualification. Somebody came in to interrupt and whatever, and she wound up getting the pin. But she still got the pin.
Okay.
But that's what kind of sucks about WWE too, is like what I've seen so far in the last few weeks, because like before this I didn't really watch a lot of WWE stuff. But a lot of the wins and losses are because somebody either shows up and interferes, or you have a count out, which we'll see a little bit later. Multiple count outs, multiple interruptions, and no real wins or losses. It fucking sucks. I'm sorry to say it. I'm not a fan of the oh yeah, we're just gonna cut a story here.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Just build a story and make it work. Stop making it seem like lazy writing. Like, oh yeah, we're just gonna do a schoolboy and that's it. You're done. Yay. No, it's lazy, dude. Lazy.
Yeah.
But of course, some of the writers don't really know how to actually be in ring. But I'm not. I don't know. I'm just talking shit right now. Which leads me to to SmackDown. SmackDown had another cool few things that were pretty interesting. Or should I go to Dynamite first before SmackDown? Because I'm going in chronological order, I guess, right?
Let's do it in chrono. All
right. So Dynamite this week was probably my favorite thing of the week besides the pay-per-view, because of course, you know, Dynamite was the mainstream big TV thing. And it was fucking fantastic. It started with Adam Cole versus Jungle Boy, right?
Right.
Yeah. In the that was the title, not the title, the Owen Cup or whatever. The Owen Hart Cup tournament qualifier or whatever. That wasn't Jungle Boy and Cole. It was Jungle Boy and fucking Kyle O'Reilly.
Right.
Kyle O'Reilly. It's fucking fantastic, dude. I fucking like Kyle O'Reilly. I never really got to see him back in the day because, of course, you know, he came out during the time that I wasn't watching WWE stuff. I wasn't watching NXT.
Yeah.
So, watching him completely fucking destroy Jungle Boy, I was like, yes. This was a super fucking fun match.
Yeah, it really was.
Like, it was really good back and forth. But with Kyle O'Reilly actually coming up on top, I was like, yes. I wanted to see him. And plus, this was also his first solo win so far. Because he's had nothing but tag matches.
Right.
So this was his first solo win. I'm like, okay, I like where this is going. Because I want to see more of Kyle O'Reilly. Because granted, he is part of the undisputed elite. But I do want to see more solo of all of them, pretty much. Granted, the Bucks are a tag team and they don't want to do a lot of solo stuff. But even solo, they're pretty good because Matt does a few things here and there. And Nick does a few things here and there as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do want to see more solo Kyle O'Reilly. Because this was a phenomenal match showing off his skills for those that haven't seen his skills before. Granted, they've seen his tag team skills, but...
Right, you never get to see him as a solo in-ring.
Yeah. Yeah, because nobody came out to help him. He did it all by himself. And he put on a hell of a fucking match. Constantly going for the submissions, which I fucking love, dude. He's such a good technical wrestler. It's fucking great.
I was surprised they gave him the victory on that one. I thought it was going to go to Jungle Boy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's also because, like, Jungle Boy doesn't really need any more. Like, yeah, they want him to come up. They want him to do, you know, to become like the face of AEW.
Right. But for now, I guess it's just like,
let him rock the tag teams. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, I don't ever want to see him not with Luchasaurus.
Exactly. Granted, they don't have fucking Marco Stunt anymore.
But, yeah.
Which is sad because, like, I like the dynamic of, you know, the three short, of them.
Short, medium, and tall?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have Christian now, so kind of...
Yeah, but he's like the angry old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Christian. But... I sometimes kind of want him to turn heel against them, which, like, am I wrong about it or do you see it coming? Because I kind of see it happening. I'm like, he, once they get to the point that they keep losing matches, they're gonna be like, yo, like, what the fuck, dude? Get your shit straight, dude.
I don't know. We'll see if this is a thing.
Yeah, I know. I could just be talking shit. That's just my thought process. Because he technically took over after just around the same time that Marco Stunt was pretty much like, I'm out of here. Not to say that he's out of here, but like he had an injury and then he never really came back. But yeah, this was a good match. It was one of my favorite things of the night. Then we also had
there was just a lot of really good matches that night.
It was a jam packed night of Dynamite.
And it was like no promos. It was just wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because we want to watch wrestling. We don't watch. If I wanted to watch commercials, I'll just watch commercials.
Oh no, and actually we kind of fucked up because the night didn't start with Kyle O'Reilly and Jungle Boy.
It started with Punk versus Dustin Rhodes.
Yes.
Which that was probably my match of the night.
Yes, that was a fantastic match.
And what I because if you guys listened to us a couple of weeks ago, we had spoken about the tweet that Dustin Rhodes put out saying that when CM Punk was like, you know, I want to, like, put me on Wednesday, give me a match, and Dustin was basically like, pick me.
Yeah.
You know, but he was also saying how much of a dream it would be to wrestle him.
Absolutely. Because essentially they've both been around for, not necessarily around the same time, but they have been wrestling around the same time, but in different places.
Yes. And with that being said, each one of these guys knows the ins and outs of the business. They know how to work.
Yep.
And you figure they really got to know each other behind the scenes in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I noticed with that match, there was just pure fanfare.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
And I love that it started with the handshake.
Mm-hmm.
They did their thing. There were a lot of close calls.
Yeah.
And then it ended with the handshake.
Yep.
But then, well, we thought it was going to end with a handshake. But like, where you could be like, oh, he turned heel. He did it. No. Dustin literally grabbed Punk's arm.
Yeah.
And raised it up and pointed like, this is your guy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just so much love and respect in that ring between those two. I'm just like, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
It was like, fantastic. This is why we watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, we watch and we look for heel turns and things like that. Even not as podcasters, it's just fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look for those little things and you want to see what's next. But you primarily look at it where, like, it's these two men that are going to put on a show for you. Risk everything, because it's fake, but it's not.
Yeah. It's choreographed.
It's choreographed. Yeah. And, you know, we've said it before, the second your body hits the mat, you're not the same.
Yeah.
Go to the main show and like listen to any time that Alex was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was something to watch, you know. It was highly enjoyable to see these two guys wrestle for about, what, 15 minutes?
It was a little bit over 20 minutes, yeah.
Okay, so a little bit over
20 minutes. Because it went past the break.
Yeah.
It's in close to, you know, the next break.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, just fun. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is why we watch this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because it's fun. It's high quality professional wrestling right there.
Absolutely.
The other shit that was fucking dope on the match was the fucking Andrade and Darby Allin coffin match.
The coffin match?
Yes. That show's fantastic too. Like, I'm a fan of Andrade. Like, he's one of those dudes who's just like, yo, like, I want to see more of him. I want to see him win titles. I want to see him, like, at the top of the fucking of the roster. But you keep seeing him. Granted, he does get his main events. But you keep seeing him as, like, a mid-carder at the moment. Or, like, a high mid-carder. it kind of sucks. I'm kind of like I don't I, I'm not a fan of that. But
no,
he puts on a hell of a fucking show too. Like there's never a bad Andrade match, especially when you're putting up against people like Darby Allin every time. So far, it's been it every time. Fucking great fucking matches.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was no other. It was the same thing. It was fucking fantastic. Especially for another coffin match, because like, I was like, okay, we're getting another coffin match. Last time he went up against Ethan Page for a coffin match, and he kind of destroyed the coffin with him. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see Darby do his thing in the coffin match. It's fucking good.
He's another one that's a lot of fun to watch.
He really is.
One of my favorite moments of that match was when it made it up to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrade ripped the sign of the fan.
Oh, yeah. Sting mask. Yeah.
And, like, all of a sudden, like, Andrade, like, turns his back and the fan unmasks himself and it's Sting.
Yeah. He did the thing.
See, I was never a WCW guy. I quit wrestling at that point for a while. Wow. And I didn't know about that.
He did that a few times. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That was funny.
It was a callback to when Sting was in the crowd with a Sting mask. And then he did the crowd one. Then he also did one in the ring as well, because they had the imposter thing as well back then. So with the imposter thing, he came into the ring. He dressed up as Sting, like the crow version of the Sting. And he took off the mask and he gave somebody the Scorpion Death Trap or whatever. It was pretty dope. I love it. I love that that was like the fan service moment of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also going back to the Punk and Dustin match.
Yeah,
that was kind of like a heart shaped box for fucking Bret Hart, because there were tons of fucking spots on that match that were literally Bret Hart spots.
Yeah. But also Punk wearing the pink and black.
Yes. Yes. It's fucking great. I fucking love it. Okay, so now going back to Andrade. He's really fucking good in ring, dude. And it was funny seeing Jose, the assistant, come out. Mm-hmm. And like rip off his shirt and try to beat up Darby. And then Darby just picking him up and just slamming him into the hood, the top of the coffin that had thumbtacks on it.
Yeah.
Great. It was great. Like I love how Darby puts together a match.
Oh yeah.
Cause it's really damn good. And also the fact that like he always looks like the underdog in the match.
Mm-hmm.
Always. There's never a moment that he's like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna capitalize throughout the entire match and I'm always gonna, you know, I'm always gonna come out on top. No. He's one of those baby faces that always puts the other person over before him.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the match, he's like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna win the match. Even though we all know he's gonna win the match. Or we all have some type of idea to it. The fact that he gets pretty much decimated just before the end of the match. You're like, okay. I like where he's going.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's done that a lot. He does that a lot. Especially in these big matches like the coffin match that they had this week. And I'm a fan of it. Keep giving it to me, man. I like it.
Same.
Yeah. And then we were talking about not having many promos. The one promo that we did have was, of course, when we love Danhausen here.
Oh, absolutely. As you can tell, my name on the live stream is
Yes, exactly. YG Danhausen.
You are cursed.
Yeah. We're also fans of Hook, too. The person that has had an undefeated streak so far. And the last few weeks, we've been seeing Danhausen trying to curse Hook. And
he just shakes it off.
Yeah, he's pretty much been... you can't do anything to Hook.
He's like uncursable.
Yeah, I was just about that was the word I was looking for. I just couldn't think of it. But yeah, he's pretty much uncursable. Like, there's no... he has like some type of curse on him so that way he can't get cursed. But you see Danhausen come into the ring after he tries to curse him previously. And he's like, yo, I'm tired of this shit. I'm tired of cursing you, and you're not doing anything. You're not falling under my curse. You have to fight me. I want to fight you. Yeah. Which leads to us having the first match of Danhausen soon.
Yeah.
Super fucking excited. I've seen Danhausen wrestle so many times before, but many people haven't.
I mean, I didn't know who he was middle of last year or whatever, and he just kept popping up in that makeup on YouTube and random things, and I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And then talking with you, it was like he wrestles but he's an ROH, and I'm like, okay. And then you sent me all those matches, and I'm like, oh shit,
yeah,
he's fucking good.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it's gonna be nice to see him in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the first time, and seeing that they're putting him up against Hook.
Yeah.
Like, could this be Hook's first loss?
Could it be his first loss? I'm excited to see that, dude.
I know.
A match that isn't going to be a squash match.
Right. Like, imagine if during the... what the hell does he call it now? It's the Taz mission.
Oh, yeah. The Red Room?
The Red Room, right. So, what if he puts the Red Room on Danhausen, and then Danhausen somehow just goes... And Hook's, like, fucking freaking out and shit. You know?
It gets under his skin.
It gets under his skin, finally. To see... And I love that the cursed gimmick is so fucking stupid and works every time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on William Regal.
Yeah. That was the best one so far. Last week. That was the best one so far.
Yeah. Basically having a heart attack.
Yeah.
And what I really like about Hook is that, you know, he's super fucking talented. I mean, it makes sense because his dad is Taz.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
but not only just that, but he's also like, he's a jiu-jitsu artist. He knows how to do the jiu-jitsus. He's also like indie wrestling, but amateur wrestling. He's an amateur wrestling champ. He's like, he knows his shit.
He knows his shit. And like, I love that he comes out, just gives a look, and it.
Yeah, nah. Comes out, does his thing, and he's done. He's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's fucking great.
Yeah. It's fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest point of Dynamite this week, something that was super teased for the last week and a half or whatever, they were pretty much like, yo, we got a huge announcement that's happening this week. And the announcement was absolutely huge. First off, like, we don't see a lot of Tony Khan on the TVs, which is a good thing because, of course, you don't want to see too much of the owner or, you know, the showrunner on the TV.
Right. Because Tony Khan is doing the opposite of Vince.
Yeah. the complete opposite, because you don't see about it. You don't see him. You hear of him, but you don't see him, because you don't need to see that, because he's not the main attraction.
Right.
He's not the reason why people are there to see the wrestling or whatever. So he comes out and he talks to Tony. He's like, yo, like, I'm gonna bring out a special guest. And he bring out the owner of New Japan Pro Wrestling, or the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much announced that AEW is going to be doing a cross promotion.
I love that it was announced by Adam Cole interrupting Tony Khan. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun. That was cool. Especially being that Adam Cole used to be in ROH as well.
Yeah. Well, like.
New Japan.
New Japan.
ROH. Yeah.
Where, like, he basically was like the ultimate heel and interrupting the boss,
mm-hmm.
just to like, yeah, just to be like, you know, hey, like, if anybody knows, New Japan, it's me. Yep. I should be the one announcing this, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
And like, you know, like, it was great that like they got him to do the, what's it? The fucking
the whole announcement, pretty much, yeah. But then not only is that, but like that was also continued with Jay White, Sling Blade Jay White, right after, with him coming on. Of course, we've seen him a few times in AEW, kind of teaming up in a way with Cole and the Elite or whatever. But he comes out pretty much saying, like, yeah, you can't have New Japan without me.
Right.
Because he is the leader of the Bullet Club. And he is technically the Bullet Club. The Bullet Club, is at this moment, cannot be without him. And right. It's exciting. It's exciting. Like, I was giddy as fuck when I saw this. It was super exciting. It was like, oh, like, it's about time that we get this huge cross promotion, because of course, you know, what we've seen, granted, we've had, you know, little bits and pieces here and there,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, having certain people show up, but never a whole event with multiple pieces in a puzzle together. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be in June in the Chicago, the United Center, or the United Arena, where CM Punk showed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be there. And it's gonna be fucking dope. I'm excited for it. It's gonna be called the Forbidden Door, where it's gonna be pretty much slammed wide open. And who are we gonna see? That's what I'm excited for. Are we gonna have AEW versus New Japan? How is it all gonna work out?
Yeah,
because there are so many possibilities. So much shit that could possibly happen. I'm excited for it, dude.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I want to see what's gonna happen with all this shit.
Yeah, like, I want to know who the fuck's coming out.
Yeah,
and who's gonna make their debut?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, like, it's gotta be something where you're just not gonna know. It's just, you know, because they're not gonna tease anything, because they like mm-hmm. They like to just go surprise.
Yeah.
Which I prefer. Absolutely. You don't need like 75 fucking vignettes that lead to nowhere.
Yeah. We don't need to see 18,000 weeks of fucking Veer coming.
I know.
Over here. But it's gonna be dope, dude. I'm super fucking excited for it. Especially saying that, like, some of the people from New Japan are slowly making their way in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because this leads us into, I'm gonna go straight into it. It's gonna lead, it leads us straight into fucking Rampage. Granted, yes, SmackDown was before Rampage, But Tohoro Ishii was going up against what's his face, Eddie Kingston. Oh no, against Adam Cole. He was going up against Adam Cole. That was another fantastic match because that was the qualifier for the other qualifier for the Hart Cup. That was a fantastic match too because Ishii is such a fucking great fighter. I fucking love the way he fights. His style is so fucking dope. It's simple too. Like he much like Eddie Kingston, is a heavy hitter, dude. And I fucking love it. Every fucking minute of it. I fucking love it. I love the heavy hitting. The fact that they are literally beating the fuck out of each other every single time. It's fucking great. Yeah. That's what we see in New Japan. New Japan is like that for a good chunk of it. They don't hold back. They literally smack the fuck out of each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking love it. And we'll see more. We'll hear more of Ishii over when I talk about Rebellion a little bit later because he's had a match over there too. But this match is really cool. Like it was really good. It showcased a lot of Ishii because, of course, you know we want to see what's going to happen with him. He also had a match previously on I think it was on Dynamite or a Rampage. I think a couple weeks ago, or like a month ago or so. But he was there for a little bit. He had a match. I think he lost, right? I don't remember.
Forget.
Yeah. But he was there. He showed up. He was there for a little bit, and then he went back to Japan, then he came back again. Now, but this is going to be really cool, the fact that they're going to have the Forbidden Door, and they're slowly, like I said, bringing people in. It's fucking dope. I want to see what's going to happen. This, unfortunately, Ishii did not win this qualifier match, but it was still good. It was really damn good.
I figured they were going to give it to Cole.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. What's going to happen is that we have Cole that's going to be there. Also, we have O'Reilly that also won the qualifier as well. Are we going to wind up seeing both of them against each other eventually?
That'd be a great match.
Yeah. Basically, to see who will be the better of the Undisputed Elite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for it, dude.
Oh, I'm ready too.
See, this is the storytelling that we need. This is the type of shit that I'm excited for.
Yeah, not that other bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. The shit that's like, oh yeah, wins and losses don't count over here. So anybody can fucking win shit. No,
right. It's not. No. But
yeah.
WWE is the participation trophy.
It really is. Like, oh yeah, you're new here. Here, have a shot. Take it. Right. Take it. Yeah, but no, I like the way this is going. I'm excited to see what's gonna happen with this cup, especially.
Yeah.
Especially next week too. Next week we're gonna have for the qualifiers or whatever. We got fucking FTR going up against each other.
Oh, that's going to be a beautiful match.
Dude,
just,
it's going to be fantastic.
I mean, if you think about it, think about the way FTR work as a tag team. Their body language, the way they read off each other, play off each other, whether it's hot tags, need help, you know, whatever. These guys are going to put on one of the best matches in AEW for 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just gonna. I hate to be the match that follows them.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's gonna be nuts.
It's gonna be amazing, dude. Especially since, like, they've been working with each other for so fucking long.
So long.
And they've held titles together in so many places that they know each other. They know their ins and outs. I'm super fucking stoked for this shit, dude. Like, I want this shit to be amazing. Who do I want to win? I don't care. I just want the match.
Yeah.
Give me the match that we deserve.
I don't like any member of FTR less than the other member.
Right, exactly. They're both like, great.
They're both fucking great.
Yeah. They're both fantastic. So I'm super excited to see FTR versus FTR. Or Dax Harwood versus Cash Wheeler. That's going to be really good.
Do you think they're going to come out together?
It would be hilarious if they don't. They both come out to the same theme. Right. One of them walks out, then they're coming to... And then the other one comes out with the same fucking theme again. That'd be fantastic. Or what if they do come out at the same time?
Yeah, that would be at the same time, shake hands, and then start.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. I wouldn't mind that happening either. That'd be cool. But it'd be funny if they do come out two different times with the same theme song. Be hilarious.
Or just to fuck with fans. Like, one comes out through the heel tunnel, one comes out through the face.
Yeah, yeah. Super fucking cool. I guess I'm going to give a shout out to somebody that's been posting up a bunch of these FTR videos. Fucking hilarious, dude. So this person on the Twitters has been posting the FTR theme song. Two different musical numbers in cinema.
Oh, no.
And it is fucking amazing. So check out Undead Media on Twitter. It is every day for the last 10 days they've been posting a clip from movies with the FTR theme song playing.
So it's essentially a modern take on Guile's theme goes with everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because those were great back in the day.
Yeah.
Because Guile's theme, so for those, I mean, obviously, I really hope our listeners know Street Fighter.
I would hope so.
Yeah, but like, so Guile's theme is like the perfect theme in Street Fighter. And like, it really goes with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be fucking... It's hysterical that like somebody is doing this with FTR's theme and keeping the tradition of great themes going with pieces alive.
Mm-hmm. It's fucking great, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love it. Like I treat it, I retweet it every single time I fucking see it, dude. Like I'm gonna show you one of them. That was pretty funny. The latest one that they did, I think it was. Which one is this one? I don't know which one it is, but I'll play this one. See, so it looks like the kid is...
Yeah.
It's the clip that we've seen forever. With the little Asian kid that's dancing, and they stop it and play it.
These are great.
I love it. I love it. See, shit like that is fucking hilarious to me. I love it. Every single time I see shit like that, like I'm like, oh yes. Every single day he puts up a different one. So go check out so there we go. That's our follow of the week, right?
I just follow them.
Yeah. It's fucking fantastic. I love it. So where were we? Where were we?
We just talked about FTR. Wrestling against each other.
Yes. So for the qualifier, yes. So FTR is going to be going up next week. But before we get to next week, we also had Eddie Kingston going up against Daniel Garcia. in a match that nobody was allowed to be in the ring. They pretty much, Ortiz and Santana were pretty much not around. They're like, nope, we don't want you here. Also, the Jericho Association Appreciation Society, mm-hmm. get the fuck out of here. He pretty much right. like, yo, like, you guys can't be here. Get the fuck out of here too. And this was literally a brawl. I fucking love watching Eddie Kingston fight. Yeah, I also too. Super, I am a super big fan of fucking Garcia. It's really damn good.
Garcia's great.
Both of them are really damn good. And I kind of like that Jericho is putting over Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
Because a while back, Garcia pretty much was out of wrestling, period, because he had a mm-hmm. super bad injury.
Right, it was the car accident that Jericho yeah. mentioned in the... Yeah.
Yeah, so the fact that he's putting him over, they pretty much got him better, and he's been on a rampage, pretty much. Haha. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. No pun intended. He's been on a tear, pretty much, of pretty much whoever he goes up against.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a really good match. But what I loved about it was that it basically showed both of their styles and whose style came on top. And it was Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston with his strong style beat mm-hmm. the fuck out of this kid. And I fucking loved it. Is it bad that I'm excited that a grown man beat up another grown man? Or a younger girl,
young
man.
Kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fucking great.
It's great to watch.
It's fucking great. Like I've mentioned it before, Eddie Kingston is a fantastic fucking wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's only had his shine the last couple years.
Yeah.
Since the pandemic started, when he came in for the TNT title, open challenge against Cody.
Right.
I had no idea who he was. And I was completely transfixed by his promo only. Before he even got into the match.
For me, actually, it was the BTE episode where they filmed his promo, or they filmed his speech to the locker room.
Oh yeah.
When
yeah,
Brody yeah. died, uh-huh. like, this night is about him. Let's do it for our leader. And like hearing that emotional speech to mm-hmm. get all these guys out there to go do their job despite losing their friend. That I was like, oh shit! Like this guy. You know, like his speech is, you know, it's great. Yeah. But, you know, and then one, you know, eventually I saw him, you know, in the ring. I think it was actually, it was on or around the time when he gave that speech from his mother's apartment
mm-hmm.
on that YouTube video.
Yeah. That was just before the thing that you were to.
Right, that was just before the AEW thing that I went to in September.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that was the first night I actually got to see him wrestle.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Like,
he's fucking
this
great.
Guy's fucking good.
Yeah. And what's great about it, too, is that he's literally a regular-looking dude. He's not fucking super strong-looking or super thin or super fucking tall. He's literally,
He's a dad bod. He's an average man.
Yeah.
You know?
He's your average dude that can beat the fuck out of you.
Uh-huh.
He's not super ripped. He's not anything. He wears pants with a singlet underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And he busts ass all the time.
Yeah.
And he's one of us. He's a New Yorker. He sounds like us. He talks like us. He walks like us. He has the feel. He has the New York type of mind. And I fucking love Eddie Kingston. And I love the fact that he was pretty much showing Jericho, like, yo, like, this is what I got coming for you soon, too, again.
Yeah.
Because this is definitely on, we know it's leading to Kingston Jericho again for the next, possibly for Double or Nothing. But I'm super fucking excited for that shit. I'm a huge fan of Eddie Kingston. I really want more of him. He needs a fucking title defense. I want that.
I want that too.
I want that so fucking bad. I mean, speaking of title defenses, we got Jade Cargill going for her 30th win in AEW, bringing up to 30-0 up against Marina Shafir, who used to be in NXT. She had a point, a little stint over there. She was there for a little bit, but the last few weeks they've been pushing Marina Shafir on Dark, on Dynamite and stuff, showing her off, and they've been showing her moves and how she's doing things and basically showing her style and showing her that it's completely different than everything that pretty much anybody that we've had on the roster so far. Cause she's a complete badass. She's a hardcore motherfucker. Like, she's really good at what she does. She mixes the wrestling, of course, with a lot of the MMA stuff, which is you don't see very often. But I'm excited to see her. She was really good in the match. She actually, like, Jade Cargill, yes, she may be green as fuck at times, but she also knows how to put over another person as well. And she really put over Marina in the match. I was, like, granted, yes, did I want Marina to win? Yes, I did. But, unfortunately, she didn't win, which was, like I said, unfortunate that it didn't happen that way. But it was a really good match too. Like, it was a great main event. Also, good seeing fucking Jade actually go for the 30 and actually win the 30th match.
I don't think she's gonna lose for a while.
Yeah, I think she's pretty much stuck there for a little bit. So I'm excited to see what's gonna happen. I like it. I also want to see what's gonna who could possibly go up against her to actually win the title. One person that comes to mind automatically is a person that we haven't really seen much of. We only see her mostly on like dark matches and stuff like that. But the person I'm talking about is Abaddon. I want to see Abaddon win that match too. Because Abaddon is a fucking fantastic fucking wrestler. But she doesn't get a lot of shine. Mostly, I think it's mostly because she doesn't really say anything. She's literally like a zombie. She's really good in ring. She has a great presence that scares the fuck out of people. And I get it, that may be why they don't put her broadcast her as much, because she is a zombie. But come on, people. We had a show that was fucking based on zombies for like fucking 8,000 seasons. Give me more Abaddon. I fucking love Abaddon. She's fucking great. I want to see more of her. I want to see where she goes. I want to see what she does. I want to see her at the top of the roster. Because essentially, yeah, she's been doing nothing but dark matches. But she's also undefeated at the moment. So, yeah, that needs to happen. And then the final point that made me enjoy Rampage for so much more reasons than ever was Danhausen again shows up on Rampage. And at this point, Hook is walking into the arena, speaking to Lexi Nair, and The camera pans over. You see Danhausen pouring chips on the ground, which is essentially, for those that don't know, Hook just eats chips. He's like, I'm just chilling eating chips here. He doesn't say anything. He's going to eat my chips.
Mm-hmm.
But you fuck with his chips. You fuck with his chips and you get what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Now what we got was Hook pushing Danhausen to the wall and saying, you wanted my attention. Now you got it.
I didn't actually see this clip, so if you want to share it.
Yeah, I'll share this. I'll share the fuck out of this clip right now.
Yeah.
It's a fucking great clip. I'll play it. Just give me a second. Hold on. Where is it? Play from the beginning again.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Big win for you this past week on Dynamite, but Dan...
Now, is this how you like your powerful chips? Huh? Like that? You're gonna give me a match? Oh.
You want my attention? You got it now.
Ooh, ooh, that gave me goosebumps, dude.
Right? Danhausen was like, fuck.
That gave me fucking, yo, like, I legit got fucking goosebumps on that shit, dude. Mm-hmm. I fucking love that little, just the two lines right there. I fucking love it. I cannot wait for Hook versus Danhausen. Granted, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen probably until the next pay-per-view. Which I get it. You want to build the matches. You want to build the characters. You want to give Danhausen some moments of getting the ring rust off by having him do some dark matches here and there.
Heel time.
Yeah. But I'm excited. I am so fucking excited. Cannot wait. Cannot fucking wait. Yeah, that was my favorite moment of Rampage this week. Yes, the matches were great, but that one promo just topped it. Put it up there. Put it way up there. Super fucking excited. And then I guess that we're gonna take a step back. We're gonna go to SmackDown now. After.
Yay.
and then continuing with Riddle, who was part of the RKO and the Usos. Riddle went up against Jey Uso. Basically just to see what's gonna happen if they face off against each other for the titles. And this was actually not a bad match. It was actually pretty enjoyable. The fact that Riddle can wrestle his fucking ass off.
Somebody find him his damn shoes.
Yeah. Somebody definitely needs to find him his damn shoes. But there's another wrestler that does his fucking thing without his shoes too. That's Mike Bailey that we spoke about a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And we will be talking about him in a little bit again. He's right. Riddle's fucking good. And I'm not going to front. Like, yo, Jey Uso's actually pretty damn good, too. He's good in ring. Like, his in-ring style is pretty good.
Well, I mean, the whole family is good.
Yeah, but you could still be the black sheep of the entire fucking family. And be like, oh yeah, I wrestle with them, but I kind of suck, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, he's fucking good. Like it was actually a really fun match. I believe it was Riddle that won that match. I don't remember anymore. It doesn't work very well. Who won that match? See, I'm looking up the. Who won that match? See, I should have done this previously, right? But whatever, doesn't really matter. Yeah, it was a fun match, and of course, like we said, it's gonna be leading up to the match between the Usos and the RKOs, or the RK Bros. Mm-hmm. I've been saying RKO for this entire time, haven't I?
I think people understand what we're talking about.
I would hope so. I would hope so. But yeah, I'm excited for RK Bro against the Usos. Yes, I want that. I want that now. Especially for the titles. Like I want RK Bro to win the titles. The unified titles. I don't want the Bloodline to have it.
No, I'm kind of over the whole Bloodline thing.
Yeah. And then that leads us to another thing for the Bloodline. Sami Zayn pretty much came to the backstage area and was like, yo, like he started talking to the Usos. Not the Usos, but the Bloodline pretty much. The Usos were back there with what's his face? Mr. Champion, this Mr. Acknowledge Him.
Mr. 600 Days?
Yeah, Mr. 6,000 Days at a Time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, him. And he was pretty much like, yo, like, I need you guys to help me. I kind of like playing the card like, oh, I want you guys to basically help me out and actually help me possibly win this match against Drew McIntyre. And he was pretty much like, yo, like, I respect you and, you know, I acknowledge you to Reigns. And he was like, oh, but I want you to respect me as well. But he was like, but I want you to respect the fact that I acknowledge you. Which was fucking weird for him to play it that way. But he pretty much was like, yo, like, I want you to help me out. I want you to be on my side when it comes to this match, as well as I will be on your side as well.
Right.
Which led to a match with Sami Zayn against Drew McIntyre, which, of course, happened again last week. But this week, it was actually a lumberjack match. Which is kind of interesting, of course, because, you know, you have a whole bunch of people outside the ring that are trying to keep you in the ring. And they did a horrible job at it. because what wound up happening is that Sami Zayn, of course, wound up running away again. He ran away last week. He ran away against this week. Which led to Adam Pearce coming out and saying, Sami Zayn, you can't run anymore. Because next week, Sami Zayn will be going up against the big Irish dude, or the dude from Wales. Against him in Drew McIntyre in a steel cage.
Nice.
So it's gonna be fun. That I am fucking excited for. Especially since it's gonna be on fucking regular TV. That's actually pretty damn cool. A steel cage match between Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn. It's going to be fun, especially since there's going to be no running away. Like, you can't run away anymore. can't have, right. You know, you had your help, people that were going to help you and people that did help you, because a lot of these lumberjacks beat up Drew McIntyre when he came out of the ring, which technically you're not supposed to really be doing, but they did it anyway. But yeah. They also did it to Sami Zayn when he fell out of the ring too. And then Drew McIntyre had a pretty good spot where he pretty much flew outside of the ring the way he usually does, and he jumped on everybody when they were all beating up on Sami Zayn. It's pretty fun. But yeah, that was probably my favorite match of SmackDown. But then there was also what started out SmackDown was actually the contract signing for Ronda Rousey and and Charlotte Flair. But it wasn't
I'm glad that name stuck.
I know. It stuck with me. I know it probably didn't stuck with many other people, but what I enjoy about this is that they're like, yo, like, we've had so many matches, and the fact that this match is a continuation of their match at WrestleMania. And the fact that Ronda made her tap a few times in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen because because of shit. She didn't win because of that shit. Mm-hmm. They had this contract signing because now the match is going to be happening at Backlash will be Ronda Rousey against Charlotte Flair in an I Quit match. And that's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, you know, you got the submission machine over here. And you got Miss Flair over here going at it. Hopefully it'll have a better finish than the last one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited for that. I want to see where that goes. Because like, granted, yeah, Ronda Rousey isn't the best at the pro wrestlings. But she is a phenomenal fucking MMA person. She's really damn good at it. And Charlotte, she's the fucking champ. She does her thing in the ring too. So I'm excited to see both of them actually go at it and actually have a finale to their match. A real finale that actually makes sense. I want that to happen. Because, of course, you know, we didn't get that last time. And that was super fucking sad. A good finale. Because, of course, you know, it ended in some bullshit. But, you know, whatever. That was pretty much SmackDown for me. Those were the three main things from SmackDown. I was like, okay, I'm excited for what's going on in this story. Those are the only stories that I was like, okay. There's some type of movement within the storylines that actually makes sense, and I'm kind of invested in somewhat. So yeah, I'm excited for that. But the other thing that happened this weekend, because of course it happened on Saturday, we got Impact Wrestling had another pay-per-view. This time it was Impact the Rebellion. Jesus, I couldn't say Rebellion because what's funny? I kept thinking Revolution. That's what was coming out of my mouth. But it was not Revolution, it was Rebellion. And it was a fantastic card from top to bottom. The only card that I wasn't a fan of was the 8-team elimination match for the tag team titles. It wasn't a bad match put together, but it wasn't one of those like, oh my God, you have to sit here and watch every single match of these. Because it was, you know, it was kind of like the Royal Rumble, and you get two tag team in the beginning, and then you have 2 minutes, and then the next tag team comes up, and it goes vice versa until, you know, teams get eliminated. Mm-hmm. But the first like five teams that were eliminated were pretty much eliminated in like 3 minutes by the same team. And like, that was the only thing I was like, I'm not a fan of it. But besides that, it was actually pretty cool. Like, it was a pretty cool, it was a good few matches there, but the rest of the card was actually really damn good. It started with Steve Maclin and Chris Sabin versus Jay White. Fucking fantastic match. If you haven't seen any of these dudes wrestle, I highly suggest you do, because they're all fucking great. They, Steve Maclin, great fucking wrestler. Chris Sabin's been around for quite some time. Another fantastic fucking wrestler. He was actually the X Division champ for a little while. Fucking great. I enjoyed them. And then Jay White, the fucking Sling Blade, one of the like I've mentioned earlier, he is the head of the Bullet Club. Fantastic fucking wrestler over there. I'm excited. I was excited for this match. This was the opening match. And it was fucking fantastic. Really good back and forth. The fact that they kept going in and saying that they don't necessarily have to pin each other for somebody to actually get the win, of course, obviously. You don't have to pin all three of them at one time. You don't have to pin two at one time. Somebody needs to get pinned, and you win. And what wound up happening is that Chris Sabin was about to go for the pin on Jay White when Steve Maclin comes in and interferes and then pins Chris Sabin and gets the win over both of them, which is fucking insanely good. It was great. It was a great fucking match. It was a great back and forth. I absolutely loved it. And that led perfectly into the next match, which was another three-man match, which had Trey Miguel, who we spoke about the last AEW Impact show, as well as Mike Speedball Bailey and Austin Ace for the Impact X Division Championship. And this was a great fucking match. There was a lot of back and forth. Super, super crazy good high flying spots. There was this one spot that I was like, holy shit. That shit was so damn good. I think that was one that I sent you earlier.
Yeah, I think so.
That was a fucking great fucking spot. I'm seeing if I play it right now, too. Yeah, it was a good 19 seconds or whatever. With Speedball. I don't think you've seen Speedball before, but you'll get to see it now.
Your focus kick there from Austin. Perfectly timed moonsault from Bailey.
So he moonsaults off of the top rope onto the, onto the ring outside. Fucking great.
That was nuts.
So that's what you see in these X Division matches. It's shit like that. shit like that you see in the X Division matches. Every single time, there's some crazy shit like that happening. And I fucking love it. Like, shit like that is the shit that gets you invested in people. People taking their lives on, putting their lives on the line.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking nuts.
One missed timed part of that set, and that was not good.
Yeah, that would have not been good at all. That, see, that right there was fucking great. And that's what happens throughout the entire match. Shit like that. Tons of high flyers, tons of crazy shit. Super fucking good. And then that leads to Deonna Purrazzo, who at this point is the champ champ. She calls herself the champ champ because she has the ROH title and the AAA women's title match, the women's title. And it was a match for the AAA title because, of course, Taya Valkyrie, who used to be in the WWE for a while. She was going up against her for the AAA title, who at one point she was the AAA champion, but she had to forfeit her title because she was going, of course, to the WWE. But this was a really good match between both of them because they are fucking fantastic. Taya Valkyrie, she has a great luchadora style, and Deonna Purrazzo has a great, she's a hell of a submission artist. She's really damn good at what she does. She's a hell of a fighter, and like seeing both of them in ring, both of their styles compete, they went perfectly together. They mixed perfectly, and it was great to see. It was great and unfortunate. Like, I enjoyed it, but I was happy that Taya Valkyrie wound up winning, but sad that now Deonna Purrazzo only has one belt. But like I said, it was a fucking great match. And the fact that Taya now has her ROH title she never really lost before was pretty cool. It was really damn good. I was excited for this match. It was really good. Definitely, like I said, I have said it before. Go check that shit out. Then another fucking fantastic fucking match. We spoke about Ishii being on Rampage just the day before. He was also in a match on this pay-per-view against what they call the top dog. Jonah. And it was funny because they called it a dog for dog match, because Ishii, his tagline or whatever is basically the Iron Pit Bull. So you got the top dog against the Iron Pit Bull. Corny as shit, but this was a fucking fantastic match too. Jonah, for those that don't know, is a big motherfucker. Dude is like 350 pounds. Huge New Zealand dude. He's a fucking dude from New Zealand. And Ishii, who we just saw previously on fucking on Rampage, is another badass fucking Japanese wrestler who brings that fucking Japanese style. Also, Jonah used to be in New Japan as well. So they bring that heavy hitting style together. So both of them at the same time was amazing. Their back and forth was fucking insanely good. Like the fact that Jonah had him by like a good 50, 60 pounds. And was taller than him by like a good, I'm going to say like about a good 6 inches. Was fucking insanely good. insanely fucking good. I fucking loved every single minute of that match. Even to the point that at the very end, Ishii wound up coming in for the pin after he did the brain buster on Jonah. He lifted Jonah into a brain buster. Fucking nuts. Fucking insane. It was a fantastic match. I absolutely love Jonah. Last week, on Impact, on Access or whatever, he went up against PCO, who we've known for ages, and he pretty much put him to rest, quote unquote, because of course PCO is a kind of like a Frankenstein at this point, because of course we know he's older, but that's his gimmick or whatever. He's kind of like a Frankenstein. He's kind of like a zombie in a way. He's the undead, essentially. And he pretty much knocked him out, and then he kept getting up, and then knocked him out again. He got up again, and then he got up one last time, and that was it. And then he was pretty much laid out in the ring for, like, you know, a good 20 minutes or so, at least from what it seemed. But that was a good match, too. But Jonah and Ishii was actually a really, really good match. That was probably my favorite match of the week. Of Rebellion. It was really damn good. Then we had the Tasha Steele versus Rosemary for the Knockouts Championship. That was another fucking awesome brawl. Tasha Steele was a great tag team wrestler with her other partner, but of course they went their separate ways. But this match was really damn good. Tasha Steele wound up coming up with the win again. Still undefeated as champion. Last time she defeated what's her face? Hardcore Country. Mickie James. She beat her for the title, and she actually wound up winning this one. It was actually a really good match. It was really fun. It was a good back and forth. Man, I'm excited to see Tasha actually go for more wins, because she's fucking good. She's really good. She's the badass Boricua, like she says. She's really damn good. Like I like her style. I like the way she does things. I love her in-ring. Then the final match for Revolution was actually Rebellion. Jesus, was Josh Alexander versus Moose. Moose is a big motherfucker. He's like a good 6'5", brolic ass black dude, against Josh Alexander. That's like about 6 foot, Canadian dude. Always wears a mouthpiece. Wears a singlet. Badass fucking wrestler too. Submission artist. Fucking great. He used to be, did you know, he used to be tag team partners with Ethan Page back in the day. In the North on Impact. Yes, they used to have a tag team called the North, and they used to be the tag team title champs back in the day. Great fucking tag team. But yeah, they were going up against each other. They've been going with this story for like a good 6 months already. What happened was that back when Christian had the Impact title, Josh Alexander beat him for the title. And right after Josh Alexander beat him for the title, Moose had previously won the champion, the ability to actually go for the championship title. And as Josh Alexander was celebrating with his wife and kid in the ring, Moose comes out, cashes in the title chant, the title, you know, contendership, and defeats him in 2 minutes. while his wife and kid are in the ring still. So that's how the story built up until now. And then as the months passed, Josh Alexander was having issues with his contract, so he pretty much got worked off of Impact, and pretty much said that, oh yeah, you don't have a contract anymore or whatever. And then Moose actually went to his house and started fucking with his wife and shit, like, yo, like, you know, it was like some creepy shit that he wound up at his wife's house, at his house or whatever, with his kid, and started talking shit to his kid. And yeah, it was just a crazy back and forth for them. It was crazy. It was kind of like back in the day WWE shit that they did. But it was pretty cool shit at the same time, which led to this match, which was the match of the night for me. The absolute match of the night. Josh Alexander knows how to put up a fucking match, dude. It's really damn good. Great back and forth. Winds up coming up for the pin after, well, not just at coming up with a pin, but he hit Moose with 10 suplexes in a row, which is
that's crazy. Some
hardcore shit, dude. I think I'm gonna play that shit now too, because why the fuck not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just throw clips in here. Why the fuck not? Just do it every single time. Yeah, 10 German suplexes, one at a time. It's fucking great. It was fucking fantastically good.
For Moose getting into that corner.
All the way for the pump kick again, trying to capitalize. Oh. Moose stayed on the outside, but this time Alexander had an answer.
And Josh holds on to that German suplex, looking to chain them together. The grip, tenacious, almost as tenacious as the athlete himself.
Another German.
Pretty soon this crowd here. Oh! And Gypsy's gonna start counting along.
Trying to muscle Moose back up to his feet. Alexander continues the onslaught.
Well, as more and more damage is done to the Impact World Champion, he becomes more and more lifeless, more for Josh Alexander to pick up and suplex.
That is 6 German suplexes all in a row.
See, Moose can't even stand anymore after 6.
Yet.
Yeah.
Another suplex. Make it 7.
They say 7's a lucky number, but it's not quite lucky enough for the walking weapon right now.
How much more can Moose take? How much more of this can Alexander dish out? That's number 8.
See, and he just keeps going.
Has wavered.
I fucking love it.
Even if the body of the champion has
9.
You have to imagine he's got double digits on his mind.
German suplexes. Finally, Alexander releases.
See, wasn't that amazing? Nuts. Dude, how often do you see 10 German suplexes on a dude that's way bigger than you are?
I've never seen
Not that very often. Exactly. See, shit like that you get on Impact. That's amazing shit. It's fucking great. I fucking loved it. And I also love the fact that, like, it was a redemption story. At this point, Josh mm-hmm. Alexander, after that, winds up winning the match, making him this week's Wrestler of the Week. Fucking fantastic match. I fucking love Josh Alexander. Congratulations to you, and congratulations on the win, man. It's a good win. It's fucking fantastic. I loved it. Overall, the pay-per-view was a great pay-per-view. It was really damn good. Definitely worth watching. So if you go, check it out on fucking Fight TV. Click on the link in the show notes and go check out Fight TV for that shit. They got all the wrestlings over there. Do you have anything to add on to the show this week, Brian?
No.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Another fantastic week of wrestling. So make sure you guys go check all that shit out. Or you can just come back next week and we'll talk about it. Because, of course, you know, that's what we do. It's what we do here on the show. So, like I said, go check out innercitygeeks.net. We've got a whole bunch of shit sometimes because we have this show. We also have the Inner City Geeks podcast. We also have Brian 2J Presents. And so much other shit that's over there. Go check all the stuff that we create for you guys to check out. Also, we have links to some pretty cool damn places as far as stuff. So, of course, like I mentioned, Fight TV, because who doesn't like a good fight? You get to see, of course, the wrestling. You got the Impact Rebellion over there if you want to check that out, because that's a fucking dope-ass pay-per-view. Also, this past weekend, they had the GCW... some shit. They had some weird name for it, but they had GCW over there too. They had a two-night event, but go check that out over there as well. Also on Fight TV, you could watch the USC matches that happened this weekend as well too. So go check all that stuff out. Look at that shit. So much stuff on Fight TV. Watch it all. It's there. And then we also have links to Amazon. We get a month free of Amazon Prime. Beardy good stuff with Beard Octane, ICG-10 for 10% off, Sosa Clothing for some cool shirts and hats and stuff. Type in Inner City Geeks at checkout for Sosa Clothing, SOESIC, clothing.co. Then there's CBDMD, or you could also check out Sideshow Collectibles. So many cool places, so many cool shits. Check out all that stuff. Then you can find the show on SoundCloud, on Stitcher Radio, on Google Podcasts, and on motherfucking Spotify. And you could find this show on Twitter, on Suplex City Geeks. And you can find all the stuff for us on Inner City Geeks on the Facebook space of Inner City Geeks on Facebook space, Instagram Facebook space, Twitter Facebook space, and yeah, those are all those places. Like, where can we find you, Brian?
We could find you flubbing up a little bit there.
Where... Who flubbed up? Me?
It sounded like you flubbed up. You were saying you could find Facebook space on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. It's been a long weekend.
Check out Suplex City Geeks on Twitter, and it's all on innercitygeeks.com, which has links to
.net, .net,
Twitter. .net, that's right, .net. See, I flubbed too.
Yeah.
But you can check out...
The Flubosaurus Rex.
Yeah. But you can check all that stuff out there on the .net, and then, of course, on Twitter and Instagram as well, innercitygeeks. As for me, you can find me at Bright2J Presents on Twitter and Instagram. You can check out Bright2JPresents.com, where there's links to a whole bunch of things that I do. Check out the YouTube. You know, I'm going to be pumping out content later this week. Once all this, like, the finale of this cold is gone.
Yay.
Just hit the like button, share, subscribe, and all that stuff.
Very cool, very cool. And then you guys can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters at Mr. Jackal, MasterJackal. And that pretty much wraps it up for this week. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for sharing. Thank you guys for doing all the stuff. And we'd like to wish you the best on all your future endeavors.